they're taking what you're saying to them, and they're hoping that you are what you talk. Let's be about anything we drop, because we're going to get tested on it. If the people on the street don't test us on it, God's going to test us on it.
Kill the Mockingbird, Truth to Report, with Sean Chris and Sebastian Farr.
Kick his ass, D-Bass!
Wake up!
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. It's been a pretty crazy couple weeks for me, personally. And then with all the news going into the new administration, it's been a lot of stuff going on to keep up with.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's been going. Yeah, and I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad everything's okay with you and, you know, all your situations and stuff, so that was good. I'm glad to have you back. Last week was a little, we tried to do without you. It was not the same. I mean, I try to hold it down, but it's still not the same. It's like, I like to have the banter.
It's easier to have a conversation with two people, obviously. Yeah.
Let me see. I messed that whole intro up, but I'm going to show you a little skit I worked on real quick, so I'm going to plug that up. Why I plug that up, and then... we'll get ready into the first clips, you know what I mean? To kind of get us into what's going on with all this. So we're going to go. Here's my omen to Biden.
Come on, man.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the thing.
In San Francisco is all about, well, you know, gay bathhouses. And it's all about round-the-clock sex. It's all, come on, man.
Neil Smith, an old buddy. Are you here, Neil? Neil, I miss you, man.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Let's clap for that, you stupid bastards.
Hey, there you are, and I can see you.
Yeah, somebody that came back.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, that was my little omen to Biden's presidency. I thought that was, man, there's so much good. I never heard him say the whole butt buddy one. That one made me laugh so hard earlier. I don't know why.
I haven't heard that one before either, but that's hilarious.
I'm sure we're going to be.
When you throw it all back to back like that, now I'm dead.
That's why I try to make a funny order, you know what I'm saying? Because you would say the San Francisco shit. Like,
it flowed well, too.
So that I thought that would be a great way to introduce, because obviously we had to start off with Biden, you know what I mean? We had to start off with what's going on. And here's, like, the first clips we're going to start off with that I got. And, you know, obviously we get clips from all over. And, you know, a lot of people send us clips. You get clips. I find clips. But here's the first. What was this? The next day? The suicide bombs? Yeah, two suicide 21st. Bombs. And they haven't had one since, like, 2017 and all this stuff. So it's kind of, like, very sketch on the timing. So here's a little clip.
We start this broadcast with a news alert coming in. At least 13 people have been killed in two suicide attacks in the Iraqi capital of Baghdad. Over 30 people have been injured in the explosions which took place in Baghdad's central market. The death toll is likely to rise further as some of the injured people are in critical condition. It is a rare deadly attack in the Iraqi capital, which has seen almost no such bombings since the defeat of the Islamic State in Iraq in 2017. There was no immediate claim of responsibility. However, we can tell you that a twin suicide bombing has killed at least 13 people and wounded more than 30 others in Baghdad.
But wait, there's more.
Known that Israel and the U.S. share intelligence, what's new or what's special about how this attack took place tonight?
Well, Ariel, this attack is unusual in from several different aspects. The first of them is the intensity of attacks that we've seen in the last few weeks. This attack is coming as the third attack in just the last 10 days, definitely a step up in the rate of attacks. Another aspect that it's different in is how many targets were hit tonight. We're talking about three different locations in Syria with several targets in each location, so a lot of information was needed in order to hit all of these targets. And finally, and what's most unusual about this attack is this unusual statement coming from an American source saying that the intelligence for this attack came from the United States. One wonders why all of a sudden Israel takes intelligence about this area, which allegedly it has bombed in many times in the past.
There's more to unpack, I know, in the first week, about almost his first week. It's like, a couple more days will be his first week. But that's the first two, like, significant things that we already talked about before previewing what could happen. And it looks right away. Now there's activity in Iraq. More troops are going back to Iraq. There's already been convoys spotted in Syria. And there's even now convoys in Taiwan, spotted in Taiwan as well. Like, so what do you see out of this? Does it seem like a same old? Does it seem just that imperialism, that war hawk, that neoliberal, neocon / neoliberalism, just going back to what we are used to?
Oh, yeah. It was very much like kind of the one real saving grace for me with Trump. And why I voted for him recently was because he was not getting us further involved in these foreign engagements and these wars, whether they're proxy wars, whether we're funding, you know, various radical groups, even though the media will claim they're moderates. That funding always ends up in the wrong hands and innocent people end up getting hurt. And it's interesting for me, seeing that all of this is happening on the first couple of days after the new administration comes in, it's like the pieces were in place for a while and they were ready to roll. A second he came in, boom, they were there and causing havoc all over the place. Now, not saying like the attacks and stuff coming from the Islamic radical side of things was, you know, exactly in the control of the CIA. I kind of think sometimes it is. And then sometimes there's false flags, but there's also, you know, independent groups and stuff. So
yeah, but they could have also been part of like an indoctrination program that has been getting kids or teenagers or young adults to get into those situations. And they could have been actively doing one like what's going on over here with, you know, the Proud Boys, Antifa, Boogaloo, all that. Those movements that are kind of have that CIA type of flavor on it. You know what I mean? You just have that little scent of like fed on it where you're like, this is interesting. Why are you in this area? Like, that's kind of weird. How are you always in the right place?
Yeah, and you're seeing a ton of that this year domestically and in foreign countries now. They kind of perfected the art over the past couple decades in, you know, various countries around the world, and now it's being practiced on us here at home, which is harbinger for darker times to come, I think.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Yeah, exactly. But it's no surprise because, you know, people kind of are starting to regret. I've seen stuff over the media about voting for Biden over his foreign policy stuff. And it's like, I don't think you get any refunds on that, bro. You should have known this was coming. This is plain as day. His foreign policy was going to go straight back to, you know, the Bush doctrine, which was carried on under the Obama administration.
Which you should have known, because there was tons of people telling you, because it was not just Trump people telling you. There was tons of lefties,
everyone,
progressives, all of us, the libertarians, the liberals. There was a big crowd telling people. So I made a little list. Well, I stole this list off someone from Twitter, but it's kind of a summary of what Biden's first couple days, because he signed a record 17 executive orders, which, like, I think before him, I think Trump did like 6 or 7 and Obama did like 8, and he did double that. And they said, like, he killed 70,000 plus jobs. You know, he ended that pipeline, which is a big controversy in itself. You know, there is a big controversy over that in itself. So, I mean, I think that one's a little bit tough because there's already that native land that they were talking about. Like, it depends on how you look at it, what side of the argument you are. But it did eliminate jobs. And then a lot of people feel like he's eliminating women's sports because they feel like, what's the point of competing? You know what I mean? Like, if someone can just be a good athlete, because it's a known fact that men are usually – is there a fast woman? Is there a woman that could beat a man in a race? Yes. But for the most part, men have been, you know, denser bones, muscle mass is different, all that. And, you know, now that they're going to be able to compete – in women's sports, I think a lot of women are rightfully so afraid of not being able to even compete and maybe having to look for other fields.
Yeah, and it goes even further than that with that particular issue is women's identity or feminism and women's identity politics is very much kind of on the chopping block here when they're going, you know, further into like, you know, the rights for, you know, people to claim whatever gender they identify with as a forefront of political, you know, policy.
Well, I could see, like I said, like I don't have a problem with anybody identifying with any way they want because
I don't either. But
I'm not in there. Like, but what as far as like, well, then what's the point of having women's and men's sports then? Like, why don't you just combine them all then? Right? Like that's how you look. That's how I look at it. Is it's like, well, then what was the point of dividing it? If you divide, did you divide it because of misogyny, or did you divide it because it's not going to be fair? Because if you. Like I said, there is a few women fighters that I know for sure can put hands on a dude, and I've seen them. Like I'm just saying, but it's not a, but that's like a one in a million, one in a thousand type of thing. Not like a 9 out of 10. Out of 10 times, it's gonna be bad situation.
And it goes into like the criminal justice system as well. There was a case in the UK where there was a rapist pedophile who had been convicted multiple times, but he identified as a woman and was put in jail with female prisoners in an all women's jail, and he ended up raping women. So it's like, you know, there's got to be a real firm line in the sand where like this can like affect other people outside of that individual, you know?
Well, you're not allowed to talk about this stuff. Like, look at Joe Rogan. Like, I
mean, exactly, it's all cancel culture.
As soon as Joe Rogan says anything about anything like this, when he had that one girl on that wrote a book about teens that like it's kind of like a trend, not a trend, but like they noticed that a lot of teens were coming out together, like groups, like that's very unusual, right? You know what I mean? That's obviously something. And what happened was, you know, a lot of them were people that were maybe not had a lot of friends, didn't have a lot of stuff, and then when they kind of, someone's like, well, maybe you're gay or maybe you're trans or whatever, right? And they're like, oh yeah, you're probably right, and then they get embraced. So there's no going back because they're getting so much praise, and they love the praise, and it's not necessarily the route that was best for them. You know what I mean? It's not a decision that kids should be making, in my opinion. It should be wait. If you want to be 18, 20, I would suggest to wait till you're 25, not legal or anything, just to get your brain fully. And if that's what you feel like doing, then if that's what you think is the thing to do, then you do it. Or that's what you know is you, then you do it. But you should wait, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then a lot of them, you know, after that period of time where they've transitioned, they go back to regret it. And there's a high suicide rate, and there's a lot of negative stuff that goes along with it that doesn't get reported. And there's definitely an agenda in the media and, like, you know, kind of like Hollywood, I think, to kind of push this movement and push the popularity on kids, which is disgusting in itself. And they're always going after the kids in so many different ways. It's like they're under attack from every angle.
Oh, for sure, because like they're trying to get you in any route they can. So we got the 70,000 jobs, like I said, killed, the women's sports. We already covered the Syria. We covered the Iraq. And then, you know, we got the whole National Guard situation where they were left in the I mean, a lot of my hardcore, like, Marine friends and other military friends, they were kind of like joking at the National Guard, always getting the easy gigs, you know what I mean? Because they're talking about, they're like, man, I had to sleep out, man, you know what I'm sleeping at? But, like, it was still just a sign of disrespect, in my opinion, you know, like.
Yeah.
They were there to help you, and then you're like, get out.
Yeah, and it was also because there was, from what I've heard, there was reports that, like, congressmen and women were complaining about the fact that, you know, they were a health hazard because they weren't wearing masks at all times, and they were all bunched up, you know, packed in like sardines there. And it's like, what? So you don't want their protection? Are they a risk? Like, it was just so much disrespect. It's like they took the photo ops with them and around Inauguration Day when they needed them to, you know, for a show of force, because that's all it really was. There was no threat. All these protests and stuff that they were kind of saying in the media that were going to happen and be violent, that was, there was no grassroots movement that was pushing that. That was, they were straight pushing to try and incite people, I think, themselves to, you know, clamp down on us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And also, you weren't here last week, so I didn't get to show you, but I don't know if you've seen that. You might have seen it by now. you know, last week they were here, the Boogaloo Boys were here at the Michigan State Capitol, and he had a message, and I played the message on here on the last cast, and they talked, and we went over it, and I want to go see, I seen that he's on Jimmy Dore, he did an interview, that guy, that Boogaloo guy, and I want to see what he says, and he was kind of reiterating, I was kind of like, man, I hope, imagine if he was listening to us, and then like, we get in trouble, they're like, oh man, I was just to kill a mockingbird, and I'm like, whoa, doggy, like, no, it's good. But he was kind of like talking about what we were saying, like, where people should be unifying and kind of seeing that we have the same common goals and the same common enemies. And I think that's what the message he was putting out there. And it's funny because the mainstream media obviously did not pick that up whatsoever because it was a unity message. He didn't go out there and he was saying, like, they're the rational ones and we should try to fix things before the irrational ones come out, because the irrational ones cannot be talked to. And I thought it was a very good message. I'm going to check out his I'll send it to you too, his little interview on Jimmy Dore, and see if that's any good. And I agree with you said, like, with the whole left, National Guard, like, it's like the police and the National Guard, like, I mean, I have my own feelings on everything. I'm more of into the military, and cops are my, I'm not too thrilled about sometimes, but you pulled them there to this protection and this whole, like, narrative of you're in danger and you're going to get killed. And as immediately when you're like, okay, the show's over, you took it down like they were some concert prop. You know what I mean? Like, there were some background dancers for Kanye West. Like, what the fuck kind of shit is that?
Yeah. It was disrespectful in a lot of different ways. It's like the conditions they had them in that parking garage, too. There was, like, one bathroom and one electrical outlet for several hundreds of thousands of troops, or not hundreds of thousands, sorry. Yeah. Several, you know, thousand troops in this small area. Like, come on, they could do better than that. Like, yeah, you know, they can give money to foreign governments and special interest groups, and the money goes both ways for them. But, you know, the working man, the grunt on the ground, they're going to be treated like trash at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that's what I think, like, that's a terrible message to enter in this new administration, or the new regime, as I like to call them, as if, like, that's how you think of the common man then, obviously. Because, I mean, the military is not made up of elites. The military is not made up of, it's made of common people like us, you know, like regular Joes. Like, and it was really telling, and that's why you've seen them try to, like, as soon as that leaked, they were trying to do everything they could to spin it and do whatever they could to try to recap. But I think that image is going to be forever. That's a bad taste in your mouth on your first week. Not even, like, your next day, you're already doing stuff like this. Very bad look. And then he even admitted that he doesn't have a plan to fight COVID. He said that we can't change the
trajectory.
Yeah, there you go. Be drinking. I can't be getting these words right. We can't change it, that the pandemic's already rolling out and it's full steam ahead. Nothing we could do. And then obviously we saw him break his own mask mandate. And then they said it's because he was celebrating and it was a big day. Okay. And then he ended U.S. energy dependency. That's also with the pipeline and all that. So I saw that, like, you combined. That's why I combined it all into one section, because I thought it was something that we should cover in a little bit more detail. And then you put the Biden revokes the Trump order that shielded U.S. power grid from China involvement. What made you, like, get into this? What do you think was important about this article?
Well, it kind of, like, you know, a lot of the stuff he's doing about the environmental policy and, like, energy security, he's doing it in a, you know, a light of, you know, this is for climate change and addressing, you know, CO2 in the atmosphere and stuff like that. But really, it's much deeper than that. And I think it's him selling out to foreign interests in the biggest way. This article kind of highlights it in a nice way. President Joe Biden has rescinded an executive order of former President Donald Trump that was designed to prevent foreign countries meddling with the U.S. power grid. Trump's order specifically prohibited any acquisition, importation, transfer, or installation of bulk power systems, electrical equipment by foreign adversaries. As part of his own executive order on protecting public health and the environment and restoring science to tackle the climate crisis, President Biden suspended that effort. Trump's order explained that the BPS provides the electricity for national defense, vital emergency services, critical infrastructure, economy, and the way of life in the U.S., and that foreign actors were increasingly creating and exploiting vulnerabilities in it. And I think this kind of can tie to in an interesting way is like 5G and letting Huawei back into the market, which would go straight back to Biden's biggest behind the scenes backer is the Chinese Communist Party in Beijing.
Yeah, and all their ties to that, because that's what I think we're going to learn more of that, but it will probably take some time. You know, people will start digging more and things will be leaked and people will come forward. So I do think you're right. It's kind of like sets the stage. It's another like telltale sign of foreshadowing of what's going to happen. They're kind of like accidentally leaving, you know, little treasure, little signs of what may happen and what's going to unfold, what they're planning on doing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of across the board. You kind of see these actions continue. And it's just going to be, you know, I've kind of said it to some people personally that I know, and I think I said it on here too. I think Biden will end up being the most corrupt person that has ever held the office of president.
Yeah. Not the dumbest, not the, you're saying the straight most corrupt, like you think more than Woodrow Wilson?
Just in it for personal profit and, you know, the interests that back him.
What do you think, more than Woodrow Wilson? I mean, like, he got...
There's 4 years is a long time in this day and age. Like, things move a lot faster now.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Woodrow Wilson was a sellout, though. That's two.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. And then I saw you had the other one, you know, too, to kind of tie Biden's whole thing in a bow is this... Biden details sweeping efforts to vaccine 100 million people in 100 days. Before you jump to this article, I wanted to also point out, I didn't get to add this article, but there's also an article, I think, in the San Francisco Chronicle, is about like 330,000 Moderna vaccines being rejected because of like some kind of like causing, I think, the first 10 people that got like severe reactions, like hospitalized. They wouldn't detail what happened. Because in the article, it doesn't really detail. It kind of just says, like, all it says is allergic reaction. That's it. But obviously, for them to try to dump, and they're dump 330,000, that's a lot of doses. So that's why I thought it was interesting about this whole Biden details sweeping effort to vaccinate 100 million people.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like a nice fluff piece by The Guardian, British newspaper, for those who don't know. They're you know, trying to make it seem like he's got all the answers, he's got all the policies in place to kind of take care of the situation, when really, like, there's no actual discussion being had about how dangerous these vaccines are, if they're actually even effective to prevent the spread of COVID or, you know, prevent people from getting it in the first place. So... not to mention all the dangerous potential side effects. We're seeing more and more cases on a daily basis. And I think even in the UK, there was an article I sent last week where they were saying that they were trying to either hold off or delay the second round of the vaccine to kind of see if they could prevent the high number of injuries.
Yeah, that. And then, like, I actually also, I think I forgot to add this too. And this ties in with the Biden thing that, now, the next day, the WHO, or I think it was an hour after the inauguration, they've admitted what we and tons of truthers, like, obviously, we didn't discover Kerry Mullis, but, you know, like, we found him through other channels, and we've been telling people about him and telling them about the cycle threshold and the count value, and it's crazy, man. They admitted it. They admitted that, like, yeah, we should lower it. It's maybe causing a lot of false positives, and... It's very shocking. I mean, not shocking. We already knew, but I didn't think they would really do it.
That was one of our potential pathways that we're going to go with this, is kind of like dial back all the fear rhetoric that they had around COVID. Now that Biden's in office, their man's in charge, they can get the policies in place without, you know, projecting as much fear to elicit this kind of medical tyranny control over us.
Yeah, because you have to lower the fear, because it gets out of control. It can get out of control real quick.
Yeah, and I don't think they want it to backfire on them now that Biden's in.
Yeah, and that's why, like, you see all these other governors now, even your governor, my governor's now opening up indoor dining, I think D.C., like, all these, like, people that, like, look, Cuomo. Like, Cuomo was trying to already kind of get ahead of the train. He did it before the inauguration, you know? Before Biden was sworn in, he was like, oh, you know, I think that this lockdown was no good, man. And you're like, wow, really? Wow. Are you going to write another book about that? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe you should have put that in the first book, man.
About 8 months too late, really.
Yeah.
Behind the curve. And then where everyone else is at, but.
And then I know you saw this whole thing about Twitter, right? You know, everybody was canceling Twitter the other day where I never heard this story, but I had read it in the New York, I think it was New York Post. And it talks about Twitter refused to remove child porn because it didn't violate policies. And then the kid sued them. At the time, they were, I think they said like 14, 15. And it was like a guy and a girl, I'm assuming. It doesn't really, you know, they're John Doe, so I'm assuming a guy and a girl. And it said Twitter refused to take down widely shared pornographic images and videos of a teenager sex trafficking victim because an investigation didn't find a violation of the company's policies, a scathing lawsuit alleges. It's like, it's crazy, like that they're shutting people down and censoring people, but they can't take down a simple. And the person that the kid and his family asked Twitter, and they went at it. 13-year-old boy. Oh wow.
Yeah, 13.
Okay, maybe he's like 16 now or something. Like, and then they requested it, and he's like, "That's me. Take it down. Yeah. I don't want it on there. It was put out there without my, you know, my knowledge. All this stuff." Still, they're like, "Nah." And I think they finally took it down. I'm not sure, but I just thought that was crazy.
That actually had to take like pressure and like a lawsuit and stuff for if it was taken down. I don't even know if it was or not. I didn't go looking for it, but this is like infuriating to the point where it's like, I don't want to say too much just because I don't want to Fed post basically. But, this is not like, done out of a place of ignorance or, you know, incompetence. This is deliberately left up a violation of policy. That, who cares if it's not in your policy? Who cares if you didn't see this coming? This, like, it's morally wrong. It's incredibly wrong. Why is it being like criminally investigated by the feds?
So how is this
posting porn on the internet? Child porn.
And my thing is
this.
They
can't regulate that. They can't go after them.
And my thing is this. If you're saying that disinformation is dangerous, you're telling me that is more dangerous than child porn? Like, you're destroying that kid. That kid's getting made fun of. It has, like, hundreds of thousands of views, and, like, you're not going to take it down. And if it was some kind of error because you had a piece of shit that was working in Twitter and maybe they're the ones that said, oh, it doesn't violate – then find out who that is. Put them in jail. Like, you know what I'm saying? Fire them. Get this shit going and take it down. You should not – like you said, there should not have been no pressure, man. It should have been, like – and it's in their policy. You know what I mean? I just don't get it. I thought it was just, like – another one of those stories where you're just like, really? I can't believe this
for
shit.
For me, I think it's like they just kind of are trying to normalize this shit, dude. They're trying to normalize it. They see it. You see it with things like Netflix putting out that horrible series on what was it called? Cuties?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're trying to normalize it.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Like, they're trying to make it acceptable, and it's like, it's just so disgusting to me. That's why I will always kind of
stand for that.
Yeah, same here. That and the whole, like, you know, like all the slavery shit with the Uyghurs, with the education camps, the kids in Nigeria, like the kids in like South Africa. You know what I mean? There's different like pockets. A lot of the sex trafficking victims in Germany. You know what I mean? And Sweden has a lot of that shit too. Even though they try to pretend like there's some high society, but. And it's just all these lies and, like you said, what they're promoting. And here's another, like we do here, like we're trying to expose, like, the propaganda and the way things are set out for us, right? So Fauci now, remember how we said Fauci is always like, oh, yes, mask, no mask, this, that. Now he's has a whole different tune. Here's a little clip of him, and I thought this could set the tone for what he's trying to rebrand himself again. So you're going to see a rebranding of Tony Fauci, and I think this is going to be the beginning of it.
Yeah.
How helpful would it have been if Amazon got involved with the federal response to COVID-19 before Biden took office? And do you know about any plans or discussions ahead of yesterday?
No, I don't think I could answer that
question. I'd be waving my hands about that, sorry. Well, you know, one of the new things in this administration is if you don't know the answer, don't guess. Just say you don't know the answer. Yeah.
So he takes a shot at the last administration, and also in taking that shot, he tosses his blame by saying, well, it's not my fault. I was under pressure for someone forcing me to say an answer I didn't want to. When that's stupid, because you have your own ethics, you have your own mind, your morals that you should be standing by. That's why we say that if you're a journalist or a bureaucrat and you've been in the same position for over 5-10 years, and obviously you're willing to conform to whatever the establishment wants. And he's now saying that, like, oh, you know, I don't know. So you never knew? And when you were telling all these answers, so now what is it? So first you know everything, and it's this way, and then it's Trump's fault, and then, like, now the science changed, and now it's like, I don't know. Because he got called out. Amazon is barely, you know, helping out with the distribution side of it, and everybody's like, well, why didn't they just do that in the beginning? And it kind of shut everything down, because it's all been a game. It's all been this whole, what everybody said it was, it really was. It was plain politics.
And it's really funny how, like, anyone who kind of questions the narrative is always accused of making it politicizing the virus or in the situation we're in, when it's, in fact, the, you know, the establishment people, the media, they're the ones that have been politicizing this the whole time. I mean, there was, a death count in New York for, you know, how many deaths of the COVID, and they're blaming it on Trump entirely, where, you know, that is completely disingenuous, really.
I completely agree. And that's why, like, I think that we kind of motivated me and you both to kind of start doing more of this and, like, unpacking it is, like, exposing. Like, that's why I think now today I was able to get a lot of good clips of a little bit of, that's one of the propagandists of showing of how they're now trying to change the narrative. And here's another one of the fear mongering. It was a insider edition kind of, I have a two clipper because it's the first part, and you can see that they're pushing one half. And they're trying to push this new narrative. The double mask. You've seen that? One's not good enough. You got to wear two. And they're trying to say that's a good enough as a N95 mask.
With COVID cases soaring,
it's pretty funny.
Experts warn it's time to double down, as in time to start wearing a double mask. President-elect Joe Biden does it. Mitt Romney double masked during the Capitol insurrection. Tom Cruise also double masks.
So it reminded me of this.
A double great feeling, making you realize double is the one for you.
It made me the double mint gum. And then, like, oh, yeah. You know, and then they kind of got, so they're all talking about, you know, the double mask and, you know, making that the new N95 mask, and that's important. And then they go into the fear mongering again. And that what they're trying to do to break down this clip, in my opinion, is they're trying to get people to want the vaccine so bad, that be willing to do anything to get that vaccine, stand it in line, wait for days. That's why they keep saying this. We're getting rid of 330,000. Oh, my God, there's not enough vaccine for it. It's this hysteria. They're using hysteria. And I think that 2021 is going to be the year of the hysteria. Even 2020, you know, that's this new era of where people are just like, and now everybody's panicking. That's why you're seeing people lining up. And this clip kind of breaks down, like, the hysteria and the panic and the cultism behind, like, trying to get this vaccine.
With more contagious variants of the virus spreading, people are desperate for the vaccine. Chaos erupted last night after word spread on social media that extra doses of the vaccine were available at the Army Terminal in Brooklyn. The line stretched for blocks, but it was a cruel hoax. Everyone was turned away. In Los Angeles, one person is dying every 6 minutes from COVID. Grim images show the National Guard storing bodies in a temporary freezer at the coroner's office. Today, Dodger Stadium is now a mega vaccination site.
So, yeah, you heard that everywhere, too. They're using most of the stadiums and, like, amusement parks as, like, vaccination centers and... So they're getting all these people to stand in line and, like, just like it, as if it's the new iPhone or if it's the new Xbox or whatever. And you got to wait in line. You got
to
get it.
They're using lots of different forms of coercion and propaganda to kind of create a false sense of demand. So more people that may be kind of hesitant will kind of rush to go for it. For me, though, it just washes all over me. I'm I'm kind of laughing at this whole thing. So, like, the people that are falling for the fake hysteria and like that false sense of demand and trying to get it as quickly as possible. It's like, are you guys like really trusting the vaccine that much? You know, the propaganda works pretty well on a lot of people. It's fascinating to see because it all has like been kind of revealed. Like it was last year, now it will be on a new level this year, I think.
That, and then I also in that clip, like, that I didn't want not to get forgotten, you hear how they're talking again about, like, you know, they had to bring out the trucks and the trailers and putting bodies on ice. I don't think we've ever broke this down, but I got to find the report. But the thing that people don't understand is the reason why they're really getting these trailers. The trailers are there not because bodies are stacking up, but the reason the bodies are stacking up is because people are taking longer to plan their funerals. Because people can't get together because of COVID, they're planning. So now instead of a body waiting there for a week, 2 weeks, you're talking about a month and a half, sometimes 2 months. So obviously a certain amount of people die every day, and hospitals are getting overwhelmed with the bodies, but because people are postponing funerals, not because thousands of people are dying a day. Whatever the number is, but you know what I mean? Not more excessively than people are leading us to believe.
Yeah. It's very much like kind of misleading the way they're making it sound. They're saying the hospitals are overwhelmed and stuff where they're not, you know, they're not seeing more traffic than they normally would. In fact, people are missing out on getting, you know, important treatments because there's the fear factor involved with the propaganda and everything behind it.
Yeah, and I would suggest if you, like, are worried about a family member doing that wants to really take the vaccine, this is what I suggest to tell them. This is what I tell my family. I just tell them, you know what? If I was you, I would wait on the Johnson & Johnson because they're going the more traditional route. It's not an mRNA vaccine, you know what I mean? They're actually, at least let these ones play out. And then that way buys you a little time and let them that makes them research it more. Instead of saying, no, they're all bad. Don't tell them that they're bad because you're not I'm not anti-vaxxer. That's why I tell them that I think the Johnson & Johnson is more traditional. This mRNA one is already showing signs of being very bad. So I think people need to really consider trying to tell people about the Johnson & Johnson one to kind of just stop talking about the mRNA one, and then we could focus on that one, and then we could see what comes of that. Is there more tests? Maybe that we could push more thorough testing and things like that.
Yeah. For me, like, I'm not anti-vax either, but with, like, this being a SARS-2 cough strain, like, they're mutating so quickly, the vaccines can never keep up. So yeah. It's like, what's the point at the end of the day for me? Like, if you're young, healthy, and have a decent immune system, I would say don't take the risk if you don't have to. Like, you're probably going to deal with COVID just fine. It's people that are older that, you know, it kind of gets to like you have to weigh up your options.
But still, man, it's been attacking the old people really bad. They had a couple like
the vaccines.
Yeah,
yes.
The vaccines. Yeah. In some of the old folks' homes. So it's just it's stuff like, but I just say the Johnson & Johnson, that way it opens up the conversation, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like,
yeah.
If you go out,
no one talks about it in the media.
Yeah. And if you just go out and be like, that way they can, at least you can have a dialogue with them, you know, and you're not going, yep, and you're not bashing what they think, and you're kind of building a common ground. And then you can both together discuss and research the Johnson & Johnson one and then go from there. Because obviously, in the end of the day, it's all of our own personal decision what we do and what we're going to do. And we're liable to ourselves. But I think, yeah, we got to inform more people. And I think that's just a better way to inform them, you know, try to find a common ground. That's like my new thing, is trying to find common grounds with people so we could connect with them so that these ideas don't just bounce off and they more, they have a chance of these seeds growing.
Yeah. And I think it's also missed on a lot of people who aren't like really self-educated or self like researching it themselves. Like, the vaccine is not guaranteed to prevent spread or prevent you from getting it. It's more or less to the only real kind of indication is that it prevents symptoms more than anything. I believe that's the Pfizer one.
Yeah.
And the Moderna one. But, you know, there's no guarantee with any of this. It's all really pushed quickly, and it was developed really, you know, way too quickly, in my opinion. You know, it's tough decisions to make, and it's going to affect each and every one of us at some point.
Oh, for sure, because, you know, it's not just us personally, but just our circles and our family and our friends. But that's why I say, like, to me, I'm like, I support whatever any of my family friends are going to do. If they decide they want to take that, that's their choice. I'm going to tell them, like, and I'm not going to say they're stupid because, obviously, like, I don't know. But I'm just going to be like, hey, that's your choice. Don't force that on me, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're allowed to, you know, govern yourself and make your own choices, I feel, in my opinion. You shouldn't be dictating whether or not someone else takes a vaccine because of your concerns.
Yeah. And then we
That's just authoritarianism on a personal level.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with that. Like, I think that's what we're pushing towards. And that's kind of like my next two clips that I got. Like, I got the one privilege education where, you know, what's going on in the schools is kind of crazy now. It's really trying to separate people, and like people are seeing this. And like, here's a little clip. I got this one, I think, off Fox News and stuff.
There are some serious questions being asked tonight about an elementary school in California that had third grade students deconstruct their racial and sexual identities and rank themselves according to power and privilege.
A teacher asked third graders to rank themselves according to their power and privilege, being white or middle class, educated, Christian, able-bodied, or English-speaking. Another slide asks students to identify the benefits of being part of a dominant culture.
Parents think, and I agree, that this sows division and hatred in their young minds.
Wen Wu says the course looks to be part of a ethnic and minority studies mandate coming statewide. One assignment required third graders to explore their sexual identity, providing this example, quote, I used to think everyone is either a boy or a girl, but now I know that gender is something you get to choose. It can be the same sex as the doctor assigned to you at birth, or it can be different.
Okay, for the million-dollar question, what state do you think that's in? Go.
It's California, isn't it?
My bad. Hey, I'm from Cali, man. I'm a Cali dude. I can talk some shit.
You know?
Hey, don't trip. I know. Well, who else? I already knew this because I have a lot of friends that work in the school district, you know, and they told me that this was coming. You know, this was going to be.
Yeah, and Biden rescinded Trump's executive order on, you know, what is it, the critical race theory training federal employees. So, you know, that's part of Biden's platform, apparently, is to just shake up every controversial issue that divides us and, you know, make it, you know, he says unity, but his actions speak in a whole nother light and path forward, obviously.
Yeah. And I don't know I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit because I don't know how much time. You know how we only got an hour, man. That shit just goes by so fast. I think we got
13 minutes.
Okay, we got 13 minutes. So I'm gonna jump into this next clip. I wanted to jump into that Brennan clip. I don't know if did you see anything about the Brennan clip where he talks about the libertarians and.
I read a little bit on it, not the same article, but I have the gist of it.
You'll like this clip. Then this clip's gonna fire you up too because I could see that last one. So. After I play this clip, I want you to drop what you about combine the two clips, like what you know what I mean, like the of what you're saying is going to happen in America. This is crazy to me, man. I can't believe this.
Of the nature of the threats,
it's on,
but it's so
CNBC.
Much more difficult today because of what we have seen, not just over the last 2 weeks, but that certainly has riveted our attention. But because of this growth in polarization in the United States and domestic violence in white supremacist groups. So I know looking forward that the members of the Biden team who have been nominated or have been appointed are now moving in laser-like fashion to try to uncover as much as they can about what looks very similar to insurgency movements that we've seen overseas, mm-hmm. where they germinate in different parts of a country and they gain strength and it brings together an unholy alliance frequently of religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, nativists, even libertarians. And unfortunately, I think there has been this momentum that has been generated as a result of, unfortunately, the demagogic rhetoric of people that's just departed government, but also those who continue in the halls of Congress. And so I really do think that the law enforcement, Homeland Security, intelligence, and even the defense officials are doing everything possible to root out what seems to be a very, very serious and insidious threat to our democracy and our republic.
Just for anybody, before you jump in, if you didn't hear what he said, he not only said racist, bigots, all this, but then he said libertarians, which is a political party, which is crazy.
He had to throw libertarians in there. made me laugh, though. If it, you know, you laugh so you don't don't panic out loud, I guess. But I don't know. It's just it's wild. Like we were saying earlier, they're trying to, you know, bring these very heavy-handed authoritarian government policies in a place that we've had, you know, going for decades on foreign terrorists and other countries. And now they're starting to label anyone who goes against like that main uniparty narrative as a terrorist. Anyone. There is no safe space outside of that, you know, leftist thought bubble.
Yeah, but they still want the right too. Like, don't get them wrong. Like, they do want to,
they want a neocon right.
That's but they still want that right, because
they want that controlled opposition. Yeah,
they have to have that. You know, they know that that's the balance.
But for now, I don't know. Like, it feels like it's kind of moving to like a solitary one party.
Yeah, it's felt like that to me.
It's kind of more and more blatant every day.
Well, you saw that with like now this whole Senate thing where Schumer and McConnell were talking about they're going to run it together.
Oh, no doubt. You know, they've been wanting to openly be buddy-buddy, I'm sure, for a while, rather than just kind of play-acting as opponents of each other.
Well, what do you got going on after this? You going to go another live, or you got some shit going on?
I'm, like, making dinner and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. That's right. I was just saying, because, like, man, it's like, man, I even cut down the list today, bro. Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I mean, we did have, like, 13 articles. There,
no, so I know, but besides that, but yeah, but before
I could cover that that one with all the foreign leaders criticizing Twitter.
Yeah, let's end on
there's
that.
A good article from Revolver News. They have like you know, they've compiled a list of all the foreign leaders who have condemned Twitter and Facebook and stuff for censoring the president. And first quote is from Chancellor Merkel from Germany. The chancellor sees the complete closing down of the account of an elected president as problematic. Steven Steibert, her chief spokesman, said at a regular news conference in Berlin, rights like the freedom of speech can be interfered with, but by law and within the framework defined by the legislature, not according to a corporate decision. Now, that one's kind of funny because I feel like, you know, she just wants the government to be able to control the, you know, the free speech and censorship. Yeah. But at least it's somewhat kind of, you know, calling out corporations for overstepping their bounds, which is appropriate at this time. Another one's from the leftist president from Mexico, Andrés Manuel López Obrador. How can you censor someone? Let's see. I, as the judge of the Holy Inquisition, will punish you because I think what you're saying is harmful, the president said during a long diatribe last week. Where is the law? Where is the regulation? Where are the norms? This is an issue of government and not an issue for private companies. You know, kind of in the same line. And he got, you know, a lot more support from other leaders like Bolsonaro, who's kind of in the same, you know, populist right political sphere as him. I like Bolsonaro, actually.
Yeah. He's all right.
And he was promoting Telegram and other stuff like outside of that. The Facebook and Twitter bubble. So I found it interesting, just a lot of people kind of riled up by Trump getting censored.
Very unexpected. Unexpected. That's why I thought it was important about that article too. I thought it was unexpected to like you said, Mercula, like Mexico's president, all those like were not expected people that you would expect to back them up. And another thing I think we got to talk about is that whole big thing that's going on in Russia, man. You know that they're having a big old like movement right now. There's tons of protests, tons of fucking civil unrest. You know what I mean? Because of that political adversary that was allegedly maybe poisoned. And then he recovered from Germany. As soon as he came back, he was arrested immediately. and he opposes Putin. And it's very interesting because I remember earlier last year, remember they were talking about Putin says he's going to step down like in 6 years or something like that. It was like 2020 something. And I found it really interesting. Like, it's really crazy because I think the Russians are kind of like, they're breaking too. They're kind of like, we're done. Okay, we're done with this game. And they're a little ahead of us because they already have just the one-party system, basically. Over here, we're pretend that we have the two-party system when we all know that it's just one. But I think that's another foreshadowing that can be here possible, too, because it's happened before there when they had their whole oligarchy state with the USSR. And it seems like it's collapsing like that again. I mean, I saw someone put a meme like, dude, it's like negative 30 degrees and they're protesting. Man, that's when you know it's real shit. You know what I mean?
Well, Russians are a different breed. They can handle those low temperatures like no one's business. But I find those protests are very interesting, though. I'm seeing some stuff that's like there could be some CIA involvement to kind of create dissent within Russia, because they know like they're very, you know, they're not very tolerant of protesting of any sort if it's against the government. So I feel like them pushing any sort of protest movement that kind of gets picked up by the youth over there really puts them into harm's way and creates a lot of bad press for the Russian government. And it's interesting, you know, because that's going with the Biden administration, and the Democrats have always kind of said Russia's the big bad enemy. So I think there could be more developments to see in the future in that part of the world involving U.S. foreign policy, for sure.
Oh, for sure. And speaking of shitty congressmen, one of the GOP congressmen, I think it, what is it, Steve Stivers? He's a Republican from Ohio. He was quoted on Facebook Finance Live saying that, I hope the administration will look at the option because we actually buy something with our 1400, and that's herd immunity. He says that he thinks the 1400 stimulus check should be given to people that get the COVID vaccine. And if you don't, then you shouldn't get it.
Wow. You know, they're just going to scare to bribe people to get the vaccine now.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I don't know how many people that would sway that were already kind of heavily against taking it. It will get people that are hesitant or maybe like kind of in the middle, like on the fence about it. It will make the difference for sure. I don't know. It's just part and parcel. They just want to get the vaccine into as many bodies as they can, and they'll do whatever it takes. It's, you know, they'll print as much money as they need to do it.
Oh, for sure. And then you've seen, like, Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron passed away, and they kind of trying to, like, a lot of people, there's been right away after he passed away, there was pictures of him with, you know, getting the vaccine. I think it was a week ago, maybe. And then people were like, I'm not saying, I don't know. Like, nobody, it's just speculation that, like, maybe the vaccine had something to do with it. But they're really trying to push hard to not let people think that, because they're worried that it could affect people's mindset. Because, you know, it's all, that's the thing that people got to remember, too. Do you know how much money that your government, our government, spent last year on publicists? Publicists. Do you understand what a publicist is? A publicist is what, like, Chris Brown has, what Justin Bieber has. You know what I mean? People that, like, basically spin stories and make them more accessible for people, or make them more interesting, or make them more absorbent, and make them become these movements. And I think that's something that's never really talked about as much, how much we pay for publicists, how people are paid to spin the story, not to tell us what's really happening, to spin it to get us to do what they want.
Yeah, and that's like a kind of similar to the public relations officers at different corporations. I feel like they kind of they're cut from the same cloth. You know, they're very much with the wokeisms and stuff. And for me, I just can't really pay much heed to the propaganda anymore. You know, it just washes over me. But you saw a lot of it, I feel like, with the inauguration. There was a ton of like Hollywood and stuff involved with that. And, you know, they're kind of showing how closely tied they really are at the end of the day.
Oh, and yeah. And how much it really like, is important
to
them.
It's all theater, you know.
Yeah, it's super theater to them, man. Like I said, like when we were putting that Brennan thing, when what Brennan is saying, he's speaking for the elites. Like Brennan was knowingly armed ISIS. Like, you know what I mean? He was the CIA director at the time. Like, this guy has nerve to say anything about anybody. But that's how he is. He's pure establishment. He's from the cloth. That's why you always see him on CNN. That's why you see him on MSNBC. They don't even hide it anymore. Remember, like, they used to hide it to where they'd be like, oh, I got this story from some guy. Now they just get the ex-CIA director and put him right there on TV for you. Yeah. And that's the guy we're supposed to believe.
They're real bold and blatant with, you know, their actions and their propaganda. Now they're very confident, and they obviously feel like they're safe to do this stuff right in front of us.
Yeah, they have no problem with it. But it looks like that's going to be a wrap for us. We're at like, minute 23, man. Good. You know, another good a wrap up of the week. We're going to be doing more and stuff. We're trying to figure out getting more stuff going out there and getting a little bit more active with it. Like, we've actually, you know, we started out just kind of just talking shit, and now we're now we're trying to put more of a format to it. So, you know, follow us on here if you're not. Go check us out on Spotify, Apple. We're trying to put out, like, some more music. We got some Deep State out. That's on Bandcamp. That's coming out on Apple and Spotify as well. And, yeah, we'll be
getting some.
Oh, appreciate it, man. And then, you know, me and Seabass will be doing more of this. Like I said, we're just kind of being consistent on our Sundays. Our Sundays is just basically a weekly wrap-up of the propaganda and what's going on in the world. And we're trying to do a little bit more shows. I'm going to have something going on Friday, something going on Saturday. I'll post about that. And, you know, we'll be here every Sunday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up.
Cancel culture. Cancel culture. Cancel culture.